Would you turn where we were in our reading, Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. Murder is a game. Murder is a game. How many people have played that game called Clue? You played the game called Clue. And in Clue, players move from room to room in a mansion to solve a mystery of who done it, with what, and where. You know, something like the butler did it in the den with a hammer. Who killed the victim? What did they use? Where were they? It's just a game. Just a game. Do you remember the popular TV program Murder, She Wrote? How many people remember Murder, She Wrote? And an American television mystery series starring Angela Lansbury as a mystery writer and an amateur detective, Jessica Fletcher. The series aired for 12 seasons from 1984 to 1996 on the CBS network. Angela Lansbury was a good actor, and at least it was one of those programs where you didn't have to worry about a lot of bad language. You know, you didn't have to be careful and kind of have your clicker in hand. But in the end, it was just a show. You know, no murder really happened. It was just a program. It was just entertainment. It's all it was. There is even a game that you can play based upon the show Murder, She Wrote. You believe there is a game. Every program that they have on TV or in the movies, they seem to, if it's popular, make a game out of it. Murder, She Wrote, the game, one player is secretly and randomly chosen to be the murderer. The rest are detectives, Jessica Fletcher. The rest of the players are Jessica Fletcher. Trying to determine which player is the murderer. Now listen to this. The murderer player wins if he or she can murder 5 witnesses and escape off the board before he or she is discovered. Sounds like a lot of murdering to me. A lot of whodunit in the den with what or what have you. But it's just a game. That's all it is. It's just a board game. It's just entertainment. Do you realize you can get something called how to host a murder party? How to host a murder party. Listen, do you have a taste for murder mysteries? How to host a murder is the best-selling murder mystery game designed to keep partygoers guessing for hours. In each self-contained episode, the layers of a complex murder are peeled away as the participants assume the roles of the suspects. Clues guide them towards sniffing out the culprit in their midst. No one, not even the host of the party, knows who that is until the end of the game. So you've got a big party, and you've got food, and you've got snacks, and you've got fun and laughing, and you try to find a grisly murderer. That's the object of the evening. There are even something called murder mystery comedies. I'm not sure how those two words fit on the same line, murder and comedy, but there are murder mystery comedies. Interactive mysteries at your event, corporate or private. And by the way, they've got outstanding references, so I guess that's a go. But you can have a murder mystery comedy at your next corporate event. When I was growing up, there were these famous mystery books for kids to read, the Hardy Boys. And the Hardy Boys, they weren't always murder mysteries, but some of them had to do with discovering the murderer. Frank and Joe Hardy are fictional teenage brothers and amateur detectives who appear in various mystery series for children and teens. That was the boys' version. What was the girls' version? It was Nancy Drew, right? Nancy Drew is a fictional young amateur detective in various mystery series for children and teens. And listen to this, over 80 million copies of Nancy Drew have been sold. And I realize, again, there's not all murder mystery, but there was some murder mystery stories in those books. I suppose every kid who ever read Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew grew up to be a detective, you know, and maybe solving a murder. Spent every day in this exciting pursuit of chasing down the grisly murderer. Well, Nancy Drew has been cited as a formative influence by a number of prominent women, from Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, to former First Lady Laura Bush and recent Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor. So they have read Nancy Drew as well. Murder is just a game. Murder is just entertainment. Murder, it is just great fun. Or is it? I want to ask a question or two, and I really don't have the answers to these questions. But I want to start with this. Is there any way in which we as a culture have trivialized, marginalized murder? I don't want you to go home and have a book burning. I don't want you to go home and dig out all the kids, the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, because I got to go home. I'd have to do the same thing. My kids have got Nancy Drew, I think Hardy Boys or whatever, underneath their beds, stacked. They've read them and they're just there waiting for the next generation. And I would play the board game Clue if you let me win. I would play that game. So, you know, I don't want you to go home and throw out Clue or burn your Nancy Drew books. And I have watched Murder, She Wrote. I've watched the program. As I say, at least it's one of those programs where you don't have to have your hand hot on the clicker to make sure you can get past some of the swear words and so forth. But let me ask a question that I don't have the answer to. Is there any way that we collectively as a society, in little incremental ways, have trivialized murder? I still can't figure out how murder, mystery, comedy, how murder and comedy go together. I'm not sure. It's almost like two magnets that want to oppose one another. I'm not sure how they go together. But you know what? When it comes to murder, the real thing, when it comes to murder, God is crystal clear. Murder is wrong. Murder is against God. The murder of another person made in the image of God, murder of another person born, and may I say unborn? The murder of another person born or unborn is morally against the holiness of God. God says in Exodus chapter 20, "You shall not murder." He rehearses the truth in Deuteronomy as God's people are ready to go into the Holy Land. God says in Deuteronomy 5, "You shall not murder." Jesus reaffirmed the Ten Commandments in the New Testament with the prohibition against murder. Mark chapter 10, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." Jesus reaffirms the Ten Commandments. Jesus reaffirms, "Thou shalt not murder." You know when the first murder took place? When Cain murdered his brother in Genesis chapter 4? God heard it, and God saw it. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood," the voice of thy brother's blood. How was that? God heard it. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." God heard and saw. God condemned murder in Cain's day in no uncertain terms. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." God heard and saw murder in Cain's day. And you know what? God sees and he hears and he condemns murder in our day. On July 18th, or is it 19th, 2009, today, he hears murder, he sees it, and he condemns it. July 14th, 2009, Associated Press, Washington, D.C. A woman accused of killing her four daughters told police in an interview that the girls were possessed by demons and that she got rid of most of the family's possessions to contain the evil spirits. A District of Columbia Superior Court judge spent a second day, Tuesday, reviewing a recording of police interrogation of the suspect. The decomposing bodies of Jack's daughters, ages 5 to 17, were discovered in January 2008 when a U.S. Marshal came to evict her from her Southeast Washington home. God saw that. God heard that. And the blood of these children, the blood of these children cried out to God on the day that they were murdered, and God condemns that. Perhaps you've been following this story in the news. Seven men who allegedly robbed a wealthy Florida couple with 17 children, then shot and killed them, were caught committing the crime on camera. The story goes on to say, said all seven of the men who robbed and killed the couple known for adopting children with special needs are in custody. Can you think of this? A mom and a dad taking kids in, helping kids, caring for kids with special needs. A mom and a dad brutally murdered. The robbers entered from the front and rear and left within 10 minutes. The men were in the house for 4 minutes. They were in that house for 4 minutes, and they brutally killed this mom and this dad. God heard it, and God saw it, and God condemned it. God is against murder. They might think, well, Florida and Washington, that's across the bay, and all these other places, and that happens out there somewhere. Crumpton, Maryland is 23 miles north and west of Dover. 23 miles. Last month, Maryland State Police said they have arrested a man for the murder of his wife, which was originally reported to be a carjacking and a murder. Ryan Holness had told police that he and his wife were carjacked Friday morning while returning to Maryland from New York, where they had been visiting family. Police say the woman's body was found along a road near Crumpton. She was 26 years old. 26 years old. She had some of the best years of her life in front of her, and she was murdered, maybe by the husband, it looks that way, but murdered and thrown along the street like trash. Murdered and thrown out. God heard it, and God saw it, and God condemns it. God condemns murder. God condemns the taking of a life made in his image, born or unborn. The grisly, brutal, horrific murder of another person made in the image of God is not a game. It is not entertainment. It is a crime against a holy, holy, holy God. Murder. Murder, you know, is so far removed from us. I'm talking about in here. So far removed from us, and may I also say, so far removed from the Christian community. Murder is the last thing anyone in the Christian community would ever, ever, ever do. Or is it? Or is it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Jesus said, Jesus preached, you all have heard, the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, have taught over and over again that the act of murder, the actual physical act of murder, the actual stabbing of someone so that they die, the literal strangling of the life of another person, that is the one thing you've got to worry about. That is the thing that will bring judgment. We might think the same thing. As long as I don't shoot anyone, I'm not a murderer. And you might say with me, I don't even have a gun. How could I be a murderer? You know, I don't even own a gun. As long as my picture doesn't show up on the post office wall, I don't know if they do that anymore, but as long as my picture doesn't show up in the newspaper, not me. I don't fall into this category. I'm not a murderer, Pastor. This is one thing that I will never, ever, ever have to worry about. I hope this message gets recorded. I hope it gets put on the website, and I hope that someone in prison convicted for murder, I hope they download this and, boy, preach it, thou shalt not murder. I hope someone out there, a murderer, hears this message. But not me. You know what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount? Murder is not so much a matter of the hands. Murder is a matter of the heart. Murder is not so much a matter of the hands. Murder is a matter of the heart. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 5. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in the danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in the danger of hellfire. Clarence Darrow, remember reading about him? He's a famous lawyer. He said this, everyone is a potential murderer. I have not killed anyone, but I frequently get satisfaction out of the obituary notices. Then it said about, in the same sentence, someone else said, hatred is a joy killer, and it is often something that leads to overt murder. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Murder is not so much a matter of the hands. Murder is much more a matter of the heart. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 5:22 about anger. The first part of that verse. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. We all know anger is a powerful force. Anger is powerful. It may start out as a drip. It turns into a tiny stream. Maybe it then is transformed into a rushing river, and it can become a powerful, controlling force that can get out of control, that can do horrendous things. You've heard of road rage? Contempt and hate for another person that goes unconfessed? Maybe someone at work? Maybe someone that you know? Maybe it's this way. A deep anger over something a person has done to you, or a deep anger over something a person has not done for you. All these things are a matter of the heart that could lead to a matter of the hands. A matter of the heart that could so easily lead to a matter of the hands. Look at Matthew 5:22 again. Look at the word anger. The Greek word means this. a brooding, simmering anger that is nurtured and not allowed to die. Have you ever had that in your heart? Brooding, nurturing anger, and you just don't let it go. You know, so many murders that you read about in the paper, you might open up the paper today, so many murders that you read about in the paper, someone has planned it, they brooded over it, someone had ill intentions for some period of time, and then they carried it to the end, and then you read about it in the paper. So many murderous thoughts and desires where there is anger or simmering hate and deep, deep contempt. You'll never read about in the paper. But you know what? God sees it. And God hears it. And God condemns it. The matter of the heart. Murder is often a matter of the hands. But murder is so many times a matter in here, in the heart. Look again at Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Look at what Jesus says in this verse about character assassination. Verse 22 again. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of the judgment. Now listen. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. First, whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in the danger of the council. We don't use that word, Raca. And because it's not in use, the word is not found in our language, this transliterated from the Greek, from the original language. But here's what it means. Simply, it means empty head. Empty head. And someone has said this about it. It is a term of malicious abuse, derision, and slander. It has been variously rendered as brainless idiot, worthless fellow, silly fool, empty head, blockhead, and the like. It is a word of arrogant contempt. Who remembers the nickname for Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown's nickname was Blockhead. Blockhead. You know, he just couldn't get anything right. He liked the girl with the red hair, the little red-haired girl. But he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do, and he always got it wrong. And she walked away. Any letter that he sent to her never seemed to get to her. He tried to kick the football, but Lucy was there, and Lucy pulled that football out, and every time he fell smack on his back, and there he was. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know what to do, what to say. He was a blockhead. He tried to fly a kite. What happened to it? Wound around the trees, got all tangled up in the limbs. And he just didn't know how to fly a kite. He wanted to be a manager of a winning baseball team. And I could just see Charlie Brown, the blockhead, out there on the mound by himself. Everybody out in the outfield, they were talking and goofing off. Sometimes nobody showed up. Sometimes it was raining and Charlie Brown was the blockhead out there on the mound by himself. He didn't know how to do anything. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. He was a blockhead. And you know what? A blockhead in the cartoons is funny. It's cute. A blockhead, or making someone out to be a blockhead, or characterizing them as someone who doesn't know anything, can't do anything, is character assassination in real life. People have been known to commit suicide. People have been known to commit suicide. There are kids in school who feel like a blockhead. Because people have used that term, it's here as raka. But in our language, it's empty head or blockhead. Kids in school have attempted suicide because they've been made out to be a blockhead. It is character assassination. They didn't think they were good for anything. They didn't think they could do anything good. And people around them murdered the image of God in their soul. Have you ever been a part of making someone feel that desperate? Have you ever hurt someone so that they felt worthless? So that they felt empty? This is what Jesus is talking about. You know, murder is not so much a matter of the hands. Murder is oftentimes a matter of the heart. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 again. The end of it. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The Greek word for fool is moros. We get the word in our English language, moron. Stupid and dull. It has to do with morality, though. It has to do with morality. They don't know anything about morality. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs about the fool? So many bad things that the fool does and is. Psalm 53 says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, it's one thing to recognize that someone doesn't know anything about morality, doesn't know about God. It's one thing to recognize a fool, as Proverbs does, so that they can be prayed for and guided and helped. It is another thing to passionately denounce someone as fit for hell, with a heart full of wrath and anger, condemning someone, that person, oh, they'll never know God. They're so far from God. And sometimes there's an anger and a passion. Only God can condemn people to hell. Only God can condemn people to hell. I heard a testimony recently. I sat in someone's home, and a church in the greater area had an unusual attendee in their services. The person coming to church on that particular occasion was a lesbian. Came to church, came to the worship services. Someone came through these doors, these back doors. And they were homosexual. They were what the Bible says. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. Someone who doesn't know God and doesn't know anything about God. Someone came through these doors, and maybe they were a punk rocker. Maybe they were a hardened criminal with a record, you know, a real record for crime. What would we do? More importantly, what would we think? The heart? What would be in our hearts if someone like that came through the door? Do you realize, in this country today, there are strident, active forces behind the homosexual community that if the right laws are passed, some of our best preachers will be behind bars in your lifetime for preaching out against homosexuality. The best preachers in America, they will have a criminal record. How does that make you feel? What does that do to your internal temperature? Do you say, oh boy, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Oh boy, my feelings towards the homosexual community, is that how you feel? It's easy to feel that way. Only God can condemn someone to hell. We are to show the love of Christ to even the fool who says there is no God. By the way, the woman who attended a church in the greater area who was a lesbian, she trusted Christ as her Savior, and she's beginning to change her life. That's the rest of the story on that. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in the danger of hellfire. There is a literal place called hell. There is a dark place where everything good and everything of God is gone. It's true. It is a fiery place where the worm, you know, that thing that eats and decomposes the flesh, there is a place where the worm dieth not. Many, many fools go there. But if you have a heart full of condemnation, brimming over with wrath, where is your heart? Do you have life, the life of Christ, in here? Murder. Oh, Pastor, I'm not a murderer. I don't even own a gun. My picture will never show up in the paper. You'll never read about me in one of your sermon illustrations. Pastor, this is one thing I will never, ever, ever have to worry about. But let me tell you, if we're all true to ourselves, if I'm true to myself, as I looked into the Word this week, as I looked into the mirror this week, as we all look into the truth, we see something of ourselves in this mirror. And all I can say is, confess these things to the Lord. I went to the Lord this week and I said, Lord, I see something of myself in here. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. What about you? Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Murder is not so much a matter of the hands. It is often a matter of the heart. Is this something that you need to speak to the Lord about? Is there anything that you need to share? Anything in your heart that you know is not right? You've never murdered anyone. You never will, but where is your heart today? Take a moment. Talk to the Lord. Confess as you see perhaps yourself in the mirror of God's Word. Take a moment with the Lord today. Our Lord, if every one of us were honest here today, we would come before you and say, oh Lord, forgive me. Only God can condemn. Oh Lord, I pray that my heart would be right. Lord, we come before you and we seek you out this morning. Help this Christian community here at Maranatha to show a heart. To show a heart of Christ, something different than the world, something that is a testimony in this community, but certainly, O Lord, a testimony as we walk before you. You see, you hear, you know. And Lord, if there's anything murderous, you condemn it. O Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.